Blog Talk Radio.
Kelly here, and we've got a heck of a show. And just to let you know, the name of the show today, Cheating Statistics in the 2020 Election, Benford's Law for Biden Votes, or VOTS, as I misspelled it. You're here today on 11/9/2020. It's 7 a.m. where I'm at, and I'm hooking up with Canada Free Press, who has got the article that I had written, Unbelievable George Soros Employee Owns Defective Switch Vote Biden Machines. And you can go to CanadaFreePress.com. It is the lead article. But, you know, it's really remarkable that we're in the same place we were 4 years ago when they were trying to kick out Donald Trump before he had entered office. And it did, look, as was said by people much more eminent and accomplished, this isn't about Donald Trump. This is about America. It's not really relevant. If you like Donald Trump, you shouldn't just sit there, and I shouldn't just sit there and wait for them to steal the election. Now, the thing that I'm talking about on this article, and you can go to Blog Talk Radio and find this, but it is statistically, they're saying that it's statistically impossible for what happened to have happened. And I'll just give you an example, and I think that you'll understand pretty quickly what I'm talking about. Let me play. Let me play the clip that I have, and I've got one from George, one from Newt Gingrich that's here in a minute. But that's this Benford law, and this particular situation is also dealing with George Soros and the fact that that his right-hand man owns the machine. And, you know, I'd like to ask people, why do we put up with George Soros when he's clearly indicated the guy's just a billionaire, you know? And I do understand that that he is up to no good, et cetera, in what he's doing. So let me get to this here, and let me play this for you. There is a number of, and I'm sorry, I'm getting some phone calls here. But listen to this from Newt. I think it'll kind of put it into perspective.
All right, joining us now, the author of the bestseller, Trump and the American Future, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, I have in my hands a copy of election observer laws. Let's see, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, all of them have, and by the way, a lot of them mention partisan observers are permitted to be present when ballots are counted. But we get report after report that they're not being allowed to observe. Is that a violation of law? And how do you remedy that?
You know, I think I've been active in this since 1958. That's 62 years. I am the angriest I have been in that entire six decades. You have a group of corrupt people who have absolute contempt for the American people, who believe that we are so spineless, so cowardly, so unwilling to stand up for ourselves, that they can steal the presidency and we'll wring our hands, bring in a few lawyers, and do nothing. My hope is that President Trump will lead the millions of Americans who understand exactly what's going on. The Philadelphia machine is corrupt. The Atlanta machine is corrupt. The machine in Detroit is corrupt. And they're trying to steal the presidency, and we should not allow them to do that. First of all, under federal law, we should lock up the people who are breaking the law. You stop somebody from being an observer, you just broke federal law. You hide and put up paper so nobody can see what you're doing, you just broke federal law. You bring in ballots that aren't real, you just broke federal law. I am sick and tired of corrupt left-wing Democrats who believe that we are too timid and too easy to intimidate, and therefore, let us go out and steal it. That's exactly, I mean, no one should have any doubt. You are watching an effort to steal the presidency of the United States, and this is not about Donald Trump. This is about the American people. Do the American people have the right in an honest election with honest, legitimate ballots to pick their leader? Or are we now just sheep to be dominated by the high-tech businesses, the news media, and the various political machines? And are we supposed to surrender? So I think this is one of the great, this is a crisis in the American system, comparable to Washington on Christmas Eve or comparable to Lincoln at Gettysburg. This is a genuine, deep crisis of our survival.
So what is the answer now that the law has been violated and observers have been kicked out? Doesn't it render the vote illegitimate?
The first answer is for the attorney. Look, the attorney general this afternoon issued an order that federal agents can carry guns in the pursuit of people who are breaking the law. That's a signal. The president should simply calmly announce that anyone who is caught attempting to steal votes or attempting to block
people
making sure it's honest.
It's already happened. The votes already been counted, and they didn't have observers. That they were kept away.
You take them back.
You say flatly,
any precinct that we were not able to observe, strip those votes out. Do not count them because they're by definition corrupt.
All right. Very powerful. Mr. Speaker, thank you.
All right. You hear that? And there's an even better clip of Newt in which he says, you know, what's going on was set up from ages ago. So here is the situation. I'm just going to throw this to you and see what you think. Number one, you've got a situation where it appears from outside observation, from people that don't have any knowledge and they're not experts. They're just citizens, and they're watching what happened in state after state after state. You're ahead with Trump, and then let's just say there's 80% of the vote left. I think this is a situation in Pennsylvania. I think, what did he have? 700,000 votes, something like that, 600,000-700,000 votes up on Biden. And you know, when people are like, you know, you know, Biden was called a potato by somebody, and because he's so inert, and but he's going to come in and have so much enthusiasm that he's going to get 1 million votes, right, in the last 20% of the thing. So common sense says, no, that didn't happen. Now, they said, well, what we did is we held on to these late ballots, and then all of these states held on to late ballots, and then they were turned in, and it just overwhelmed the system. No, I don't believe that. And here's why. Let's just say that Biden was 60 or 70% more popular than, let's say, Biden has 70% of the votes and Trump has 30% in these last ballots. How many ballots would have to be cast before you got 1 million votes? So, you know what I'm saying? So you'd have to get, or let's just say it was 60% to 40%. Because for every six ballots that you're pulling in for Joe, you're getting four for Donald. And that you know, the race was not even that far gone for Biden that it would be 60-40. But you would have to get not 700,000 or 800,000 votes to overtake it. You would, but within those votes is coming a bunch of Trump votes. So think about it. You'd have to get millions and millions of votes to get it. You'd have to get, you know, you'd have to get 2 million votes. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, I had talked about yesterday in yesterday's show, and I do, I'm just going to mention that to you. What I put together here was some facts. Well, let me get to the Soros part later, because there's a lot of different moving parts here. I'd like to for you to listen to an attorney who has got some information about the statistics in this thing. And so I've got for here for you this clip, but see if I can. Okay, this is attorney Lay Dundas talking about statistics and what's going on. But just hang out and listen to this a little bit. It's pretty fascinating.
Hey guys, human rights attorney Lay Dundas here. I have some late breaking news from you right now. It is 1:30 East Coast time, Saturday, the days after the election. I just got off the phone on a conference call with President Trump's campaign and their lawyers. I'd like to go over some of the data that they imparted. The first thing to know is media does not call elections, folks. I repeat, media does not call elections. Elections are done in a standard way that is set forth in our democratic process. And what Donald Trump wants the world to know at this point is this is no longer at this juncture a fight about a president or presidency. This is a fight about the very bedrock of our constitutional republic and the democratic process. You cannot have a free country if you cannot trust the electoral process in that country. If we have widespread voter fraud, we are no different than all of the banana republics across the world, third world countries, communist countries in which I do work. So at this point, Donald Trump isn't fighting for a president or himself. He is fighting literally for the democratic process, for the electoral process and the integrity of it. And here's the thing, if we don't win this and get rid of all of this evil and these electoral inconsistencies and these voter fraud issues, we're never going to be able to have a safe election again in the future. And the Republican Party, or any party, is never going to be able to fairly compete on a level playing field. So this, at this point, is about much more than who's the next president. And he is absolutely in this to win this, guys. Okay, so I want to get you up to speed on a few of the states that we've all been watching like hawks, and obviously the campaign is as well. In Arizona, they have late ballots that are still dropping. They are uniformly breaking in favor of Trump, such that Biden's lead is down to about 20,000, when a few days ago it was five times that. They are going to continue to break in that direction, and if so, we should be good to go. If not, when it's within 1%, there's an automatic recount, as I understand it, and or a party can request a recount. Georgia is already going to a recount. The Secretary of State there, Brian Kemp, is a Republican. He is a sane guy. They have lots and lots of overseas and military ballots that are still outstanding, and it is likely going to be weeks, I repeat, weeks, before Georgia can be properly tallied, which means nobody at this point should be calling the race. Also, they have evidence of illegal ballot harvesting in multiple counties in Georgia, and they believe the recount, they know the recount, is going to shine a light on this, bring all of the fraud to the surface, to the surface, where the ballots that were not properly cast can be invalidated. And again, once they handle this, then we know how it's going to shake out, and it's going to shake out in Trump's favor. Nevada, they have 58,000, if I did not misunderstand them, mail-in ballots that still haven't been counted, and 68,000 provisional ballots. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of voters who never should have voted in Nevada. Lawsuits have been filed. Clark County DA's office has been notified, as has William Barr and the Department of Justice. All of those investigations are being commenced. And again, once these inconsistencies, anomalies, and straight-up election issues that never should have occurred have been handled, we have a close race there, but it's a doable thing. The other thing to know about Nevada is 90 days out, guys. Apparently, their legislature or governor, I'm not sure which, rammed through changes that allowed for massive mail-in voter, and their voting lists weren't up to speed. They weren't properly pruned out and weeded through. It resulted in hundreds and hundreds and thousands of ballots going out multiple times, two, three, four times over to people at different addresses, and we all know where that ends up. Again, these are things that need to be cleaned up in future years. Pennsylvania, they have 80,000 mail-in votes and 105,000 provisional ballots still outstanding. Biden thinks these are going to break in his favor. The Trump campaign has reason to believe otherwise, particularly with the provisional ballots. As we all know, the Trump campaign was barred. They were actually prevented from having observers in the process, even after the courts ordered Pennsylvania to stand the hell down and let us observe. If you don't have transparency in a voting process, you don't have democracy in function, or in fact, you don't have a constitutional republic. All of this stuff is now coming to light. They also, like Georgia, have thousands of overseas and military ballots, if I didn't already mention it. And as we are learning, and the Trump campaign is well ahead of us on this, they had statistically impossible voter turnout, which has already been referred for investigation, and they have multiple cases of counties curing deficiencies in ballots. And we all know what that means, putting addresses on them and signatures on them when they didn't arrive with them, and doing things that should never be allowed in any sort of honest election. Again, these are the types of things that are coming to light and are being handled by the Trump campaign. Wisconsin, there were tons of irregularities on Election Day. The recount is starting next week. I just want to conclude with this, guys. There's a recent study that came out, literally I saw it this morning. Mathematicians, statisticians, and economists are concluding, not opining. These are subject matter experts who have conclusively now weighed in and said that the Biden math is not just statistically improbable, it is statistically impossible. And I'm going to give you a couple of key quotes from this. The voter turnout in Wisconsin apparently annihilated the historical record of 66% by almost 30 percentage points. The odds of this occurring are 0.00000. That's five zeros after the decimal point, guys. 0.00000189%, or 1 in 52 million. Statistical analysts have noted that this five-point deviation was not only a statistical improbability, but a virtual statistical impossibility. I am reading direct quotes from this article, which will be in the comments. Biden also pretty clearly fails an accepted test for catching election fraud that is used by the State Department and forensic accountants. For what it's worth, I'm continuing to quote, there also happens to be a record number of 90-year-olds registered to vote in 1 year during a pandemic, more so than at any point in Pennsylvania history. Nothing suspicious there, right, guys? Final quote, and here is a list of over 14,000 dead people. I repeat, here's a list of over 14,000 dead people who either voted in Wayne County, Detroit, or were registered to vote. Again, guys, we don't have a democracy. We don't have a constitutional republic. We don't have jack squat if we don't have transparency and honesty in voter turnout, in elections, and in our presidential run.
All right, so what do you think of that? I mean, I heard that, and it was kind of captured my imagination because of the fact that this lady is talking about not her perceptions, but statistical facts. Now, the average person knows that you can't have these kind of events happening. And so you know, when I took probability at U of O over at Oregon, very interesting course. And one of the things that I was interested to find out was that you've got a different way of measuring different events. It's not just one formula to find out what's that statistics or the probability. At flipping a coin 10 times, say you have a perfectly well-balanced coin, you flip it, what are the chances that it, you know, you get heads? It's going to come up heads or tails. The chance of that happening is 100%. The next flip, the chances of it coming up heads again is, you know, it's 50%. But that if you keep, you know, putting these together, you flip it again, it comes up heads again. The chance is 25%. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And it, at a certain point, becomes statistically impossible for you to do 100,000 flips of a coin and have it come up heads every time. And that's basically what happened with the voting. They want us to believe that. So it's just impossible. Now, I've got a guest call-in number for you if you're listening. And we're still just starting to promote this show through Canada Free Press. 516-387-1963. 516-387-1963. But I cut my teeth on broadcasting and podcasting through Canada Free Press. We did the show a couple of years on Sundays. So let me now get into just a little bit of a few more statements on the probability. And this is from a website called Ammo Land. Now, the guy that has posted this, and the name of the article is "What Are the Impossible Odds of 139,339 Ballots All Going to Biden?" And then it says, "So let me start. My BA is in applied mathematics out of UCLA. Besides writing occasional gun articles, I use these skills every day for green energy consulting." So he is a numbers guy. He is a statistics person. And what's his name, you're asking, of course. And I've got, and by the way, doing anything that helps Trump and would harm Biden is supposedly, all these people are going to be tracked down by AOC and her minions to punish. This guy's name's Don McDougal. He writes occasionally for Amoland. So he says here, when I saw reports that a block of 2020 presidential absentee ballots turned up all 100% for Biden, a so-called error that was later corrected when called out by conservative reporters, I asked the question, is that likely or even mathematically possible? And the answer here is simply no, not possible. And he goes through this flip of the coin, but you know, it's even more difficult than just flipping a coin. And flipping a coin has one element in it. You're flipping a coin. The coin is well balanced and everything. this is more complicated. And so I don't want to get into all the numbers here because, you know, it's easy to kind of lose your bearing when you're hearing extremely large numbers. And that, but he says, assuming 130, let's just say 140,000 ballots were found, what are the odds that they're all for Biden? And he says the number is so large against that happening that it's the number of zeros behind it is thousands, and it would fill up an entire page. So you'd have one times whatever, so many zeros. So you don't need to know the number to understand that it's impossible. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? And I, you know, it's a fair question, but it is an extraordinarily important question. What are we going to do? Now, we've seen it happen in Pennsylvania. It's probably the most, the worst instance of it. How do you come back on 700,000 or 800,000 votes? You have to get, and here's the thing that you need to focus on, and I need to focus on. It's not a question of getting 700,000 votes. That's one thing. Both of the candidates did that in this race. That's not the problem. The problem is getting them all in a very compact area. A very compact area. And in that area, it happens time and time and time again. So there's your person flipping coins, and the coin's flipping over and over and over again, and you're getting heads and heads and heads and heads, and it happens for 800,000 times in a row. And is that possible? And we know it's not possible. And we, frankly, don't want it to be possible because it is a it would warp the reality of the universe. So what are we going to do about this? This is kind of halfway through the show. But let me propose something to you. We've got to support Trump. How do we do that? Number one, you know, we get the word out to people that it was a fraud election. Number two, contact the appropriate authorities. If we know of any fraud, but the, you know, here's a lot of fraud out there. Now let me get back to what they were doing in, I believe it was Philly, Philadelphia. We've got to, if we possibly can, support the legal activities of defending, of going after this. I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but I'm encouraging you, get out there, send them some money, call them up, tell them you're behind them, get your friends who are not aware of this and tell them a statistically impossible event occurred. And we got to support these people. And so what this Benford's Law does is, and I've got another article, if you go towards data science, you can find an article on just on Benford's Law, not associated with this. And Benford's Law is kind of focused on the number one, so it would be very appropriate for Sesame Street. What it's doing is it is showing that clumps of data like this can't happen naturally. I could go into more of it. I don't really understand it myself completely. Obviously, it's higher math. But Benford's Law, it is a a way to show that something wrong happened. Now, what I was mentioning in Philly, they wouldn't let the poll watchers in. They shut everything down in the middle of the night. When people came and tried to look through the window, and it's a law, you're supposed to let the whoever on either side of the, you know, the poll counting, the vote counting is not a one party event. Excuse me. They had no right to, pardon me. They had no right to come up and put, to stop these people from coming in or putting cardboard over the door, the window. They put it over the window. And so the poll watchers had to look through binoculars to see what was going on. And some of the things they saw was falsification of ballots. And so everything that comes out that's a fact, the media immediately covers it and says, you know, this is crazy. This happens in every election, blah, blah, blah. So you've just got a lot of cheating out there. And what are we going to do? And, you know, one of the things that Newt had stated was that these particular things that we as people of the right, we as people of the conservative side of the aisle, we just take it. We're treated a certain way and we just take it, and it's, you know, it's just awful. So I think that if you're going to do anything about this, you got to jump on the bandwagon and understand that you're fighting for the health and the longevity of the nation. This is a tremendous crisis. You can't have a democracy without voting. That's fair. I mean, because people that run this stuff are going to do this every single year, and they've been doing it for years and years. And so anyway, let me switch over here to this story that I did. Unbelievable George Soros employee owns defective vote switch Biden machines. Okay, so here is the facts. Lord Mark Malik Brown, obviously British, very highly accomplished, a George Soros lieutenant. His company is Smartmatic, and it is tied in with this Dominion voting system. And so you have the Dominion voting system as an application or a computer program. And then one of the ways that it's used is you have a Smartmatic machine, and you put in your ballots and everything. So in this guy's background, he used to be the number two guy at United Nations. So he's a highly achieved person. He was also, he just so happens to have been the vice president of Quantum Fund of the vice president for George Soros. He was also then at the same time vice chair of Open Society Institute and vice chair of the Soros Fund Management. So this guy couldn't be any closer to George Soros. And it is his machines that were defective that threw off these 6,000 ballots for Trump. They threw them off and they turned into 6,000 votes for Biden. So that's what these machines are capable of doing. Now, is that an accident? Well, let me tell you this. These companies, voter companies, are also owned by people who are involved with Pelosi. So maybe that's one reason she was so sure they were going to beat Trump. And so at one point when Brown was working in the private sector, he was an advisor to billionaire Benny Steinmetz, who is the largest, I believe, producer of diamonds in Africa. Brown had all this inside information from him. He just gave it to Soros so he could shut down a deal. Excuse me. And so he was sued and fined £90,000, which is probably £150,000 or whatever. It's about one and a half. He was also at the United Nations when the Oil for Food program was put together, which cost the United Nations $600 million and $300 million in cash disappeared. He has been known, he acts like he's a monk or something, that he doesn't need much out of life. But he has gotten in trouble a couple of different times for places that he's lived. When he worked for the British government, he demanded one of the nicest houses in the government, and people were very frustrated with him. And he was working as the attaché to Asia and Africa and stuff, so he had an important job. But so here's the thing: he's corrupt. Soros is corrupt, but what about Smartmatic? What about Dominion systems, voting systems? Bloomberg has generally criticized these machines in 2019, says they're inherently inaccurate. Hard to believe, right? It's a computer. CBS News delivered a report in 2019 from the lips of Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, who's very, very liberal. The voting machine lobby, led by the biggest company, ESNS, believes that they are above the law. They have not had anybody hold them accountable, even on the most basic matters. Another concern is foreign ownership and passive investors like possibly Soros. So we don't know who owns these companies. And Smartmatic's figures were manipulated by 1 million votes in Venezuela 2017. In other words, 1 million votes came out of nowhere, and it didn't happen by accident. Dominion failed in 2018 in Georgia, the same place it's failed today, and they didn't get rid of the system. It switched the 6,000 ballots in Michigan. That's just what we know of. It's used in PA and Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Minnesota, all of these swing states. It's used in this. So if you had it for one, you could have it for all, right? Georgia citizens even petitioned in 2019 to get rid of the Dominion voting systems. And once again, it failed in Nevada in 2018. It's failing there right now. Now, here's the quote. Elaborate election systems help the bottom line of the company more than the taxpayers and voters paying for them. So here is an analysis of what's going on. And I took this from an essay on this, and here's a quote, and they say, well, here's my question. What do we know about these machines and software? We don't know anything. If they designed it to throw off 3% of the ballots, how would you detect that? We're used to detecting voter fraud through paper ballots. Now that it's done in a machine, it's like, let me put it to you this way. Grew up in Las Vegas. Occasionally people win $1 million on a slot machine, right? Now, it is not uncommon for somebody to win $1 million or whatever, a very large jackpot in Las Vegas, and for the casino to say, we examined the machine and it was a mistake, and then the person loses their money and they just go on their way. Well, let me ask you this. Was that a mistake, number one, or did they just decide they're not going to pay it? Number two, what about all the people that lose because of the mistakes? They lose winnings and don't even know about it, or they're getting ripped off. So here we go. It's always bothered me about that. If you make a mistake on your machine, that's on you. Now, here's the quote. The fact is that democracy in the United States is now largely a secretive and privately run affair conducted out of the public eye with little oversight. The corporations that run every aspect of American elections, from vote registration to casting and counting votes by machine, are subject to limited state and federal regulation. The companies are privately owned and closely held, making information about ownership and financial stability difficult to obtain. The software source code and hardware design are proprietarial, and so it's hard to investigate that. So I say, let's go back to handwritten ballots and use electronics as a backup. That's the only way. So you got to have a physical record. You got to have that, my friends. How else are you going to possibly investigate this stuff when it goes off course? So it's not COVID, folks. I always get a little bit of, phlegm in the morning phlegm with my coffee. So it at the risk of being disgusting. But so, and if you're listening, 516-387-1963. But, and I had a lovely call from a guy yesterday. I'm trying to I can't remember his name. It was an interesting name, but I think he had said it was a fake name anyway. So, all right, you've got a situation where George Soros's top lieutenant is intimately involved. He owns the company. He runs the company that has these voting machines, and the voting machines screw up. I think I forgot to read one other part here. In the Philippines in 2010 and 2013 midterm elections, there was a glitch and raising questions of cheating and fraud. So are these glitches? An independent review of the source codes used in the machines found multiple problems. So you've got a situation that is already hinky. It's already shaky. Now, and you're using this again and again. There's not that many there's not that many people in the game, and they're controlled by George Soros, because the guy that owns this. One of the things that I noticed about the guy, because I went and looked up this Lord Brown, I looked up his net worth. It's $1.5 million, I guess. This guy has worked in so many highly placed jobs in the private sector in these funds. And, you know, people that own these funds and run these funds typically become billionaires, right? I mean, one of the things we know about these guys that are have these equity funds. they're very wealthy. So this guy's worth $1.5 million. I don't buy that. But if it's true, that means that he had to get money to buy in to this company from somebody like Soros, right? So Soros has had an unusual influence on this guy. The guy broke protocol, and he went and got secret information that he used his connection as an advisor to steal information and give it to George Soros, who then destroyed this diamond deal in Africa. So, Lord, and they ask him why he was living in this house of his, why he was so influenced by Soros, and he said he's doing God's work. He got very angry and said, "I'm doing God's work." He jumped up and he ran off. Seriously, that happened. So this ongoing problem, what are we going to do? So the real issue here is we have a problem. And the problem is that they're stealing the election. Now, let's just say they're not stealing the election. Let's just say it's the world's most incredible coincidence. Well, we still got to look into it. And why is that? The reason is because it looks bad. It looks like cheating. So we have to go through all of these states and we have to do a comprehensive investigation. And they asked, you know, Newt Gingrich what he thought they should do. And he said, you can't have people shutting down the observers in the middle of the night when all these ballots come in. It's cheating. It's a felony. You've got to discount. You got to get rid of all those ballots that came in there. Those people knew what they were doing. It's not, you know, it's not like Boy Scouts sending over some volunteers. You know, these people know what they're doing. And there was just a fraud conviction in Philadelphia a few months ago for voter fraud. So I'm just saying that we've got to do, you know, folks, we have to do something. We have to have some kind of a response to this. And so it's not about Trump. Now, Trump has stood up. Trump has stood up and fought back. And you could say he's a narcissist. Of course he did. Let me turn the tables a little bit on this topic because I think it's important. Now, what happened to Trump when he was, before he got into office and right as he was getting in office, he was accused of conspiring with Russia, right? So they decided they decided to get a independent counsel, right? And the independent counsel comes in and they work on this report. Well, did you know that about a year before the report was delivered, they had already discovered that there wasn't one iota of truth in the accusation? And are you aware of the fact that they had they knew that? So this guy, General Flynn, who's still being torn up in the system, that General Flynn was totally innocent, and they had investigated him for Russia. They had decided within the FBI that he hadn't done anything. So what did they do next? Did they let him go? No. They reassessed his file and falsified information in it to prosecute him, and he was bankrupted to the point where they also said his son, who he had worked with, was going to get drawn in and charged. So it's a totally corrupt undertaking by the government. It went on for 3 years. It's a miracle that Trump didn't just quit. Now, they also did the same thing with impeachment. You're telling me that these people are just individuals, that these people are fair, that somehow if Nancy Pelosi is involved with the voting machine or the voting application, this Dominion system, that it's accidental, right? I mean, we don't know who owns this company. We don't know who influences it, but we know that when this Dominion voting system is used, the results are not dependable. And that's not just in this country, it's around the world. And we know that the voting machine can be programmed to flip votes. And we know in the middle of the night that these votes were coming in, and in every state they flipped it out. Now here's another thing that's been pointed out. This guy, the potato Biden, he goes to campaign events and literally nobody is there. Nobody is at these events. You have Donald Trump fans that are across the street from the event that are 50 or 100 people, and Joe Biden's got none. And why not? It's because he's gotten to the point in his life he has no more vital juice. His brain is spent. He's in dementia. When they had him up on the stage recently to declare his that he won, he wasn't on that stage. And there was this weird thing going on with his mouth. If you go back and look at that, they were enhancing him somehow. So this is the one time that we have in our history to go ahead and fight back and demand to be treated fairly. We're conservatives. We never stand up for ourselves. But why? Is that fate? Do you think that's godly? Are you a Christian? And you just say, I'm here to do the Lord's will, and I'm not going to do anything to rock the boat. And so, in other words, you're going to take part. You're going to support fraud. You're going to support voting irregularities that are so gigantic. And think about Arizona. In Arizona, you've got a situation where they called it halfway or a third of the way through the vote, right? Let's say it's halfway. Well, the numbers were much stronger in Florida, and they didn't call it till late. The numbers were much stronger in North Carolina, in Georgia, and Pennsylvania, and they didn't call it. So why did it have to get called for Arizona? All right, here's the down dirty. How accurate were the polls? The polls were terrible. They were off even more than last time, right? When they said Trump had no chance. Okay, so why do you have a company that's a polling company and you skew the outcome? You skew the numbers on your poll. Why do you do that? Well, it's called a suppression poll. It's meant to communicate to everybody that you don't have a chance and it would be a waste of time to going to vote. All right, so let's talk about voter fraud across the board here. Number one, Donald Trump was attacked and treated in a more vile manner than any public official I've ever seen when he had not even been in office. He was mentally ill, right? He was a crook. He was a pervert. He had, you know, women in Russia peeing on him. He took money and he bowed down to Putin and all these things. This is to start off with. So you've got people hating him, about 50% of the population hating him from the very beginning, right? And then all the other harassment that they did with him, they acted like he was the new Hitler. And the, as the saying goes, if you saw Hitler as a baby, would you have a have an obligation to kill him? Well, of course you would, right? I mean, that's how leftism is. You know, you play God. So, I mean, instead of getting the guy out of the house that he grew up in and putting him into a conservative household in America, you have to kill him. So you've got not just suppression polls, but suppression events. You've got propaganda that is used against Trump. You got to make him look like the worst person in the world. To this day, a large percentage of the people who hate Trump picked up on this information in the media. They knew that they didn't like him because he was a conservative or he was a Republican. These people, if you ask them why, they will quote Russia, which has been totally disproved. They will mention Ukraine. They will mention that he's a thief, that he doesn't pay his taxes. All this garbage out there that's meant to make people dislike him, it's propaganda. And then they come out with these polls and say he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. And that goes on and on. And they were totally disproved in the election. All of these things are a type of voter suppression, propaganda. It's all happened to Trump. And so the question, again, what are we going to do about it? And I want to go back to George Soros, who was interviewed on various shows. He was interviewed on 60 Minutes and said when he was a kid, he was in Nazi Germany, or he's Czech, but the Nazis were coming in and taking away the Jews, and they were basically selling all the property of the Jews. And there's this thing you've probably heard of, Nazi gold. I think a lot of the Nazi gold was stolen from the Jews. So they get this stuff from all these Jews, and you know, George Soros was a Jew as a kid. So he switched his identity and he became the lieutenant of the guy that was going to the houses and taking all his stuff. And they asked if he felt guilty, and he said no. He said, I had nothing to do with it. I was just an observer. And they said, well, how do you remember those days? And he said, those are the best days of my life. That's when I learned how careful you need to be, blah, blah, blah. But think about that. His people are getting sent away to get murdered to concentration camps. And Soros sneaks into the system on the other side and says, these are the greatest days of my life, when he sees his people getting killed, when he sees them getting all their property stolen. That's where this guy comes from. He also gave another, I think he wrote an article, if you look for it, you can find it at some place like Atlantic Monthly or whatever. He stated that he had a God complex. He's got a degree he's got a doctorate in philosophy, so he's encountered all the ideas. And he wants to influence history, but what is he doing? He comes in to America with all of his money, and he funds DA races and gets the most liberal DAs who don't enforce the law. And in Portland, that's one of the problems. They don't enforce the law over there, and they don't do it because the DA won't do it. But the mayor in Portland somehow just won re-election. We should see what voting system they use, because his opponent was up about 15 points on him. And his opponent was an out-and-out Marxist. And Mayor Wheeler is just a socialist. So, you know, Soros is paying for all these. So what's the impact on America? All of these cities with all of the homeless problems, you can source it back to a large extent on these DAs who refuse to enforce misdemeanors, what they call quality of life crimes, on people sleeping on sidewalks and pooping and shooting up and throwing needles on the ground and, you know, petty theft and stuff like that. So he's made a sewer. He's made a homeless camp out of all these cities, Los Angeles. You know, the head of the Salvation Army in Los Angeles lost his leg because he got typhus or something like that from the homeless camps, a disease that doesn't appear anywhere in the world except in places like that. And because he was helping people, he was risking his life. And there was an attorney in Los Angeles who also got a dread disease just from the homeless camps. That's all George Soros. And then he's paying for Black Lives Matter and Antifa. So George Soros, who's 90 years old now, put all of his money in a trust. He used to be worth $32 billion. Now he's worth $8 billion, I guess. He put it into this open society. He's trying to create a communist revolution in America. Now, the fact that the statists, the Nazis, were destroying his people doesn't cause him to give up on statism, I guess. Why is that? Who knows? I mean, he's obviously is a psychopath. You know, he harms people. How many people were injured or killed in these George Floyd riots? He was the person behind that. He was paying for the upkeep of the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. His district attorneys, which are also in Dallas and Houston and in St. Louis. St. Louis is now the most dangerous city in America. Why? It's got the highest murder rate. Guess who paid for the campaign of that DA? The DA in St. Louis had no money. George Soros came in and gave her hundreds of thousands of dollars. She won. Then and these people obviously have some sort of an agreement with Soros that I'm not just going to pay for this. You're going to be very far to the right. All right. So anyway, we'll say goodbye, but we'll come back tomorrow. But thanks for listening in or getting a podcast out of this. Hope you have a great day. Remember, Soros is the devil, and we got to fight back against election fraud. Ciao.